You look out after the last crash of thunder has passed and you open the porthole. I don't know if you can open portholes. I'm not a boat guy, but you open this one. And outside you notice the seas are calm and they are milk. And they're dotted only by the occasional crunch berry or marbit. You're swimming in the empty bowl. And it's our pleasure to have you. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
I'm Dan Goubert, and I am your cereal first mate on this maiden voyage into the Frankenberry Sea of rose-colored end milk.
In milk. Captain Horatio says that we can safe to go up on the deck for a while. So let's go swab it out. This is a meditative podcast about cereal, and all that really means is that we invite you for the next half hour to just relax, to be still, to be calm, and allow your brain, with all the racing and pacing it does day in, day out, just allow your brain 30 minutes to focus just on cereal. If you notice your mind wandering to other things, just notice that you have done so and then return your attention to cereal. It's a half hour or so. You can do it. We're going to do some cereal news. We're going to do some cereal reviews, and we'll have some fun too. It won't be all buttoned up. Cereal content. Dan, I consider it a great pleasure to be talking to you here right now, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
You know, me too. I think we have found a great dynamic here when it comes to balancing the great cereal ship. I'm just going to keep going with the nautical metaphors
until I love it.
I can think of a different one.
Here, I'll continue it. We are there spotted through the telescope. We can make out an island. It's a landmass. We can't make out what it is exactly, but we know from our various nautical charts, the name is IHOP Panflakes Cereal.
So the island of IHOP is repopulating its battered shores of you know, butter and maple syrup. When we last saw IHOP, it was in March when they were releasing their cereal pancakes and shakes in the restaurant. This included Lucky Charms, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Cap'n Crunch in both cereal-topped pancake and cereal milkshake form. So the interesting story here is that around that same time, IHOP was also developing the idea of a, you know, miniature pancake cereal. The idea got shelved for a little bit because of everything that's going on, but in the time when it was shelved, suddenly this trend appeared on TikTok of making pancake cereal on your own. So people are basically making normal pancake batter, but making extremely tiny circles when they do it on the griddle. And when it's done, you basically just pour it all into a bowl and eat it with your you know, milk or syrup of choice. But that kind of was the perfect sort of signal fire for IHOP to announce their plans to make Panflakes cereal. It's kind of in a curious state of limbo as to exactly how this product will be presented, because on Twitter, they first announced it as just something we're working on. And you look at this box, and it's clearly not official. It kind of is parodying the normal info you would see on a cereal box. And the only reason I'm not 100% sure whether it's an actual cereal is because if you look at the trademark application that they filed, it only describes this concoction as pancakes topped with breakfast cereal. So that throws the whole thing into a bit of disarray, whether we're not sure. Because the box art makes it look like just Nilla wafer cereal almost, as if it was a maple version of that, which sounds fantastic, honestly. I hope that's exactly what it is and that it's available on retail shelves. But this could be a case of something that's very limited and overpriced in the restaurant, like as a Funko cereal might be.
It's and what you're describing, that trademark, sounds like the pancakes that IHOP offered with like various cereal toppings.
Mm-hmm. I guess there's also the potential that it would be normal pancakes you eat as a menu item, but then those are topped with little tiny crunchy miniature pancakes. sort of this layered concoction of multiple layers of redundancy, but a good layer of textural contrast as well. So the whole thing's basically steeped in intrigue, and a lack of certainty right now means we just got to wait and see what's coming next.
Yeah, the really interesting thing to me about this is that there is no established serial partner, a player in the game that is attached to this. And that is weird to me because, you know, I'm sure I know the business of the grocery business is very competitive, especially in terms of like just obtaining shelf space. And it seems weird that like a player like IHOP would be able to muscle their way in without, a more established brand alongside. We always see these things like co-branded if they're going to be a sort of major retail release.
Yeah, that's how it was with Timbit cereal. It was a little bit after we heard about it that it was made clear that this was made by Post. So since they're the ones who seem to be doing that recently, I wouldn't doubt that this is a Post product. It seems like exactly the type of wacky thing that Malto Meal would do.
Yeah.
But remains to be seen. This could just be another, overhyped thing like the IHOB burgers were.
Keeping this fun cereal, kid-friendly cereal theme going, tell me about Funfetti cereal.
Well, fun is really a strong word to attribute to this cereal. This is also a very, very similar case of something where the ownership is very divided. Funfetti, as you might know, is a brand owned by Pillsbury, which is in then turn owned by General Mills. So you would think that a Funfetti cereal would be made by General Mills, but in fact, the origin of this one is currently unknown. Hmm. Because I had emailed someone I know at General Mills about possibly, getting a sample of the cereal, and I know other cereal bloggers cereal content creators like Gabe did as well, and were told that this is not a General Mills product in any sense, because apparently Pillsbury has a difference in ownership between those who make like the consumer packaged goods versus like the co-branded stuff. And mm-hmm. I don't really understand it exactly, but they told me that I would need to reach out to Hometown Foods for more information. So
okay.
I don't have in my back pocket a good buddy over at Hometown Foods, but maybe if any of them are listening, you could give us a better clue as to who's making Funfetti cereal. If I had to guess, I would say this is a Post product as well, because they look remarkably similar to the Timbit cereal again, the birthday cake version. And since that was only available in Canada, it would make sense for them to use the same shape as something that is, more recognizable to an American audience, which is Funfetti.
So Hometown Foods is a holding company that is owned by a private equity firm called Brynwood Partners.
Oh, okay.
And Hometown Foods owns Pillsbury, Hungry Jack, Martha White, White Lily, Jim Dandy, Arrowhead Mills, and Pillsbury Funfetti, which they have established as a separate brand.
So this could be coming from the sovereign state of Funfetti. and this might be another case. They might be making pancakes also, for all we know.
Right. So basically this is a case of, I don't know, ask my dad. He said somebody else could make Funfetti cereal.
Which is ridiculous in the end, because as we know with any cereal that bills itself as vanilla or birthday cake flavored, it's probably just going to taste like sugar and not necessarily be worth the layers of corporate hierarchy that come with it.
I will be honest, slightly more enthusiastic about our next news story. And I think probably even more enthusiastic than you. And that could just be because it's a very slight bit of variety with the licensed cereals we've been getting lately, but I don't know.
Are you talking about Baby Yoda cereal?
Indeed I am.
So I'm curious as to how you see this as being different than any other licensed cereal before we say anything about it.
I think I may just be happy that it's not rings. Hmm. Is that wild? I mean, I know that this is not a deviation from the traditional Star Wars cereal. Although the cereal pieces in Star Wars are more like I can't even make these things out. I'm looking at them here to reconfirm. It's like, I don't know, they're very oddly shaped, impressionistic cereal pieces. along with the Marbets.
Yeah, so previous releases of Star Wars cereal from General Mills, who have, you know, trucked out that cereal for all of the new trilogy films, I think they're like starship-shaped corn pieces.
Okay, sure, I'll guarantee them
I would believe. But they had a number of Marbet shapes, including like lightsabers, stormtrooper helmets, and things like that. And they also had these green Yoda marshmallows that are the... Sorry, now they're Baby Yoda marshmallows.
Yeah, there you go.
And they're the only ones that appear in Baby Yoda cereal along with corn puffs. So we can assume that this is probably like a Kix scenario paired with just marshmallows. It's not particularly exciting to me. I don't really like licensed cereals that just add marshmallows to anything, as we're probably going to talk more about in our review section.
I think the corn puff pieces look good. I don't know. They're like Kix. I'm sure they're not as big as they look on the package. I think Baby Yoda on the packaging makes them look bigger. Perhaps.
Well, there's also the case that the Star Wars cereal was supposed to be fruity flavored, and
sure.
There's a weird thing with fruity flavored cereal that if it's a licensed cereal, the fruity flavor's probably going to be pretty bad. When I think about that, I immediately think of Super Mario cereal, which just had to be one of the worst cereals that I've tried in the past 5 years.
I still think I accidentally got 3 boxes of that. It haunts me to this day. It also, interestingly, seems to, as near as we can tell, continue the trend of Star Wars cereal just being called Star Wars. They have stridently, for a very long time now, refused to delineate these cereals as they come about. Mm-hmm. And that is why the exception is when they first started these, you can look back through the box art and it's really amazing because they had like episode 1 cereal and episode 2 cereal. And if you look at the Marbits, it's the same ones that they have been doing for, I think they made like a 10 billion of them. And they're like, well, we'll just keep putting different stuff in the box and rearranging it. But it is the same Marbits as the Star Wars cereal, which is just called Star Wars.
I think it's meant to be like a long-term allegory for the Clone Wars, where they just keep making it the exact same. And somewhere out there in a protected sort of isolated area, there are the machines and molds necessary for making these specific Marbits.
It says the Mandalorian at the bottom of the box, but I don't think this is the first cereal with a subtitle. I don't think this is Star Wars the Mandalorian, the cereal.
No, this isn't even Baby Yoda cereal by definition. It is Star Wars sweetened corn puffs with marshmallows. And that's it.
There's a fourth story here. Unprecedented, but I'm thrilled.
So this is another fast food pairing for cereal, and it comes from Wiener Schnitzel, which is a chain that does not exist in my state, and I have absolutely no familiarity with them or their food. But the news came secondhand that they are adding Fruit Loops ice cream and milkshakes to their menu. You can take that as you will. My experience with Fruit Loops flavored shakes extends to the Burger King version, which was actually really good. Not a lot of people talk about how the trilogy of Burger King cereal shakes, which also included Lucky Charms and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, were very, very solid. So there's a 0% chance that I'll ever try this Wiener Schnitzel product just based on geographic proximity. But if you have tried it, anyone who's out there listening in their service area, please let us know.
These look delicious. I think I would still eat them. Did they ever do cereal blizzards over at Dairy Queen? You ever do that? I can't think of one. None spring to mind. I mean, I feel like they've done so many different kinds of candy, but I don't know that I've ever seen a cereal blizzard.
Yeah, I can't say for certain either. I don't know. With a moderate lactose intolerance, I probably shouldn't even be thinking about blizzards, but temptation, it's there.
You know what? I'm going to ask our question of the week early now, and we'll talk about question of the week later. But what if you're going to make a cereal blizzard, which is of course just blending ice cream into a food product until it's extremely thick, so thick in fact that you can turn it upside down. Do you ever go to Dairy Queen, Dan?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that they have to turn the Blizzard upside down, or you get it for free?
I've heard. I've never seen it go awry yet.
Yeah, they only have to do one though. If you're buying like 8 Blizzards, they don't turn them all upside down. I want to hear about your hot takes, your reviews. You've put spoon to bowl and actually gone the extra mile and eaten cereal. And I want to hear what your thoughts.
Yes, folks, just for you, I actually tasted this cereal.
Putting life on the line.
It's actually Cheerios, but it is gluten-free cinnamon Cheerios, as we mentioned in our previous episode. And this is the sort of thing at first that we, and maybe you alike, thought was just going to be a downgraded version of Cheerios Cinnamon Oat Crunch, which the Oat Crunch line, we're big fan. Probably one of the greatest innovations in cereal in recent memory. But for those Cheerios fans and cereal fans in general who cannot eat gluten, I think this version of Cheerios is surprisingly a very good standalone product, regardless of your dietary preferences. So if you're familiar with any of the recent limited edition Cheerios, you might know that they have this way of thickly powdering them. From the very first time you taste one, this is different from the Oat Crunch line, which is very sticky and sort of encased in this fine chainmail of sugar glaze.
Yeah.
But the cinnamon Cheerios are more like the strawberry Cheerios or the chocolate peanut butter Cheerios, in that they are very, very thickly dusted with this cinnamon sugar flavor. And there's something interesting about cinnamon cereal in that no two ever seem to taste exactly the same, mm-hmm. which is interesting because it's just one spice, right? How many different versions of it can it be? But from Cinnamon Toast Crunch to Cinnabon cereal to Cinnamon Frosted Flakes and now gluten-free cinnamon Cheerios, I think we've once again tasted a whole new take on cinnamon for breakfast. These are good. They are probably at like a 4 out of 10 in the actual tasting the cinnamon spice level. It's mm-hmm. not really there in the foretaste. You kind of get this blend of cinnamon and brown sugar primarily, along with that very, very much needed grounding oat component of the Cheerios. The actual spice flavor only sneaks up on you in sort of the aftertaste. So it's a very, very diverse experience from first chew to, you know, the final taste of the end milk. And I think whether you have a limited diet or not, you should either try these or mix them with Cheerios Oat Crunch, the cinnamon version, for a very nice textural carnival, if you will, of experience.
You know what great cinnamon cereal? My favorite to remember, and I think this was another that I don't think has been replicated, but it was Crunchy Stars. It was based on the Swedish Chef from the Muppets. Mm-hmm. It was released for a year in 88 and 89, and then had a brief comeback in 92, according to Wikipedia. But that was a very delicious cinnamon cereal. Cinnamon's a great pairing with breakfast.
Yeah, that's one that makes a lot of lists of, you know, these random cereals that were only out for a limited time that everybody wants back because you taste it once and it's a landmark.
Could you tell much difference between like a gluten-free Cheerio and regular Cheerio?
No, I think most Cheerios, just the base Cheerio experience tends to be gluten-free, and it's only once you get into the various additives that it makes a difference. So the base Cheerio is very much intact.
What about, poor Dan, tell me about SpongeBob cereal.
You know, SpongeBob cereal, I will say outright, I have to give it some credit for not being the worst licensed cereal, because, again, my baseline for a bad licensed cereal is Super Mario cereal. I find that...
God, you've mentioned it twice this episode. We gotta stop.
I want the world to learn from its mistakes, and we have to speak truth to power here. But when it comes to licensed cereals, I find that there are three different types. There's the absolute trash, there are the passable filler variety, and then there's the actual innovative ones that bring their own flavor to the table. SpongeBob cereal, released for the Sponge on the Run movie coming out soon, alongside the Seaberry Pop-Tarts, which we talked about last time, is exactly the same in terms of overall flavor composition as a number of past Kellogg's branded licensed cereals, like Frozen cereal or Finding Dory cereal in that it does not have a unique flavor to it. It's still very much a cereal piece and Marmite experience, but it also does not use corn as the only ingredient in the actual cereal pieces. It is a corn and oat blend fashioned into these little hollow squares. So it's the same squares that were in the other cereals. Now it just works to sort of the analogous advantage of SpongeBob. But it is those squares which are very, very similar to Lucky Charms. So overall, if you like Lucky Charms, I will say you'll enjoy the cereal. But the Marmites here are, they're nice. They're good in terms of Marmite innovation in that you can tell that they were not all shapes that existed already. They were just, changed in color to fit the SpongeBob brand. We've got SpongeBob, we've got Patrick, and we've got the pineapple. So if nothing else, it reminds me of, spoiler alert for those who have not seen the first SpongeBob movie, but when SpongeBob and Patrick nearly meet their end as dried up, shriveled up shapes, they sort of look like these Marmites do.
The Frozen 2 cereal was not bad. The pieces were actually a pretty nice complement to the Marmites. I think when it's just the corn and Marmites, that can be a rough combo. There's like not a lot of texture to offset the hyper sweetness.
And it shocks me that the cereal manufacturers don't just realize right now that oat is your golden ticket to making a cereal exponentially better than it ever could have been before.
It's true. Too true. You only had two reviews lined up for this week. I had a quick impression that I wanted to throw because we've been talking a lot about international cereals, and I'm still trying to get people to send me more. P.O. Box 54, Huddy's, West Virginia 25706. Maybe we can make it a segment, sort of an international cereal corner, especially if you find any tropical Fruit Loops that are unexpired. People, I'm dying over here. But a very dear listener who I have withheld their identity because I didn't think to ask them if it would be okay, sent me a box of Weetabix Crispy Minis chocolate chip. Yes. So do you know Weetabix?
I do, yes. The very challenging experience of trying to eat this measured wheat brick before it gets too soggy or too dry.
Yeah, the best way I could describe it is if you had a shredded wheat and condensed it to where there was like less airiness in it, and you were sort of, like you said, racing against time. Very hearty, I would say, a very big, hearty flavor that was very nicely offset, I thought, by the smaller shape. I think traditionally Weetabix are much bigger than this. And also the chocolate flavor was really nice too. I actually really enjoyed this one. I thought it was very hearty. The chocolate was not overpoweringly sweet. My mouth's watering just thinking about it. But it was very good. I enjoyed several bowls of it on my last cheat day. So highly recommend if you are a listener in that neck of the woods that can score Weetabix, I would say go for it.
Yeah, normally when I eat Weetabix, I just, in a good way, I feel like a grazing cow almost in terms of the texture and the general mindlessness of the palatability there.
It's a project for sure. Dan, what did we ask our listeners last week? Do you recall?
Last time around, we asked, what is a limited edition cereal variety that you cannot believe has not been made already?
Okay. So you sent in your responses, and we are going to share some of those with you right now.
Hello, Dan and Justin. I would like to propose my idea for a currently non-existent cereal spinoff. I urge you and anyone who may be listening to consider simply Toast Crunch. In a world where drama, conflama, and chaos have taken over nearly every facet of our daily lives, perhaps it is time to take a step back from Cinnamon Toast Crunch, French Toast Crunch, or even as Dan mentioned, Gingerbread Toast Crunch, and move on to something a little more realistic. Plain white or wheat toast. No need to fuss with any toppings. toast crunch, a little bit of calm in all this chaos. Thank you for this podcast. It helps me sleep every night.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Leah from Philadelphia. I would like to suggest a burnt maple golden graham. I think the slight bitterness of the burnt maple combined with its sweetness would go really well with the current graham flavor. I know it's not a likely pairing, but it's one that I would really enjoy seeing and tasting. Thanks a lot. Have a really nice day, and I hope you're doing well. Bye.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Corvin from Ohio. A spin-off cereal that I am frankly quite surprised hasn't come about yet is a lemon flavor of Cheerio. Lemon, I think, is such a versatile flavor. You could obviously go the route of sourness with it, of tang. But I also think that lemon has the possibility of being this very gentle, kind of sweet flavor. I think seeing Cheerios take on a lemon flavor in the style of perhaps a lemon bar or other sweet, faintly tangy lemon desserts could be a very powerful addition to the cereal aisle. Thank you for the podcast.
I think Toast Crunch would be really good. I'm a fan of all these ideas, but I just feel like Toast Crunch would be a really powerful cereal.
Yeah, I mean, my go-to answer for this would be Gingerbread Toast Crunch, but I don't know. That feels a little too obvious for me at this point. I might, you know, look for something more like a cheesecake cereal. I want to see how that would work.
Yeah, that would be nice, actually. That's a good... Cheesecake Factory should have a line of cereals. It's a really good idea. I would be shocked if that does not happen. So we already told you the question we'd love for you to answer this week. If you want to tell us about your dream cereal blizzard, head on over to bowl.rest and you'll see the option to leave a message. Plug a microphone into your computer. That's ideal, but you can just use your phone. Just make sure you try to keep it chill. You know, respect the tone that we've got going on over here. We would sure appreciate it. Let us know what you think. Your dream blizzard. You can also email us there, mail@bowl.rest. Dan, you had a harrowing cereal adventure, and before you tell your better story, I would like to also share a cereal escapade from my week.
Please.
Because I think yours is has a lot more drama. I just wanted to share mine. It's kind of nice. I made Rice Krispie treats, the classic. But I found this new recipe that Alton Brown, it's not a new recipe, but Alton Brown made a video this week. He's been doing a series of like quarantine recipes that he's shooting himself. But he, listen to this, you know, it's going to freak your bean. He toasted the rice in a wok. I know, right?
Right.
I was watching this before I went to sleep in bed with Sydney, and I literally was off the bed, just like, you maniac, you madman, how could you do this? And he also added, and this was really a game changer, he browned the butter first off, the brown butter, and then sprinkled some kosher salt in there before melting the marshmallows in with it. Absolutely. I mean, they were out of control good. I can't recommend that enough. Even just toasting the Rice Krispies for a few minutes beforehand, wow. Really, really nice.
Wow. It's like the sequel to Hot Buttered Cheerios, the Hot Toasted Treats.
Hot Toasted Treats. Hot Toasted Treat was actually my nickname in high school, so.
The experience I had, as people might have seen on the Cerealistly Twitter, was that I was pouring myself an innocent bowl of chocolate peanut butter Cheerios because I couldn't get enough of that sort of powdered Cheerio effect that we mentioned earlier. But I kind of just yelped out loud almost when this happened because two big thunks happened as I was pouring the bowl. And I looked down and you see all these stories about people who have found weird pieces of cereal or they found something weird in their bowl. And, you know, all of us have maybe had the moment where we found two frosted mini wheats stuck together. But these were chunky bricks of just chocolate peanut butter flavoring, the dust itself. These were about the size of, each one was about the size of an egg yolk, I'd say.
Wowzer.
But fully dense. And I couldn't help but take this as a sign of good luck. And being presented with an object of such raw power, I had to taste it. I had to know what was inside of it. It could have been an egg yolk inside for all I knew. But I took a bite, and it was basically like the sweetest sand I've ever tasted. It had exactly that same texture, and it was, you know, smack in the taste bud sweet, but it was indeed the same flavoring that was on the Cheerios. I think this was a powerful moment for my cereal career. I like to think that in all my time as a cereal blogger, I've sort of generated this gravitational pull, and that has brought these moons to me and given me this experience that I can share with you now.
Congratulations, I guess, is the first thing that I should say. That's a huge moment for anybody. You know, the cereal anomaly that I love is when you get the occasional puffed piece of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Do you know what I'm talking about? When, like, inexplicably there'll be one that is just has a big pocket of air in the middle of it. They're so light and crispy. I love to see those.
It's like when you get a slice of pizza with the big bubble in the crust, right?
Oh, the big bubble in the crust. Love that bubble.
Yeah. The phenomenon that is most intriguing to me, and probably always will be until I experience it for myself, is the people who post claiming to have found three Pop-Tarts in one pouch. It's a very tenuous subject, because at first you would think anybody could just fake that. But I've tried. I had so many SpongeBob Seaberry Pop-Tarts that I didn't know what else to do with, so I tried to see how likely it is to shove another Pop-Tart into a pouch that only contained two. And it is downright impossible, so I think all these photos of people who have found a triple pack have to be real. I think the Pop-Tarts Twitter, the official page, has joked about it before, so this seems to be either something that is just a factory mishap, or it's something they do to keep, you know, buzz happening around the Pop-Tarts experience. Or perhaps this was an accident and somebody out there is only getting one Pop-Tart per pouch.
Oh, that's sad.
Since I first saw this, I've wanted this to happen to me. And it's gotten to the point where I'm willing to eat an unruly number of Pop-Tarts just to see, just to finally hit that moment where I pick a pouch out of the box and feel, this is too heavy.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you have enjoyed yourself. We know we've enjoyed it, making it for you. Like we said, our show is at bowl.rest. If you head there and you would like to support the show, there's a button where you can do just that. Just click on the button and you can pledge a buck or 10 bucks or whatever you can to the show. Half of that goes to keep seriouslylee.net going, and half of that goes to a local food shelter here in Huntington, West Virginia. So we sure appreciate that. If you'd like to support the show another way, we have a t-shirt. If you go to McElroy, McElroy merch.com, you can find a beautiful empty bowl shirt.
Yes, and that shirt was designed by Emily Loper, who is also our editor for this show, who we'd like to thank.
Thank you, Emily.
As well as Chris Zabriskie for the opening theme of The Sun is scheduled to come out tomorrow. Thank you, Chris.
And thank you to you for listening. We hope you're feeling a little bit calmer now, or asleep, whatever your goals were. I hope you've attained them. But be sure to join us again next time. But until then, my name is Justin McElroy. For Dan Kubert, as always,
don't forget to drink the milk.
Wow, I love that. No, I love the intensity.
Stake
and I love
your claim in this life.
I love that. It's the secret. You're just visualizing it and taking it.